to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin it in Mark chapter 15. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." This is the text. The amazing thing, when you look very closely at the happenings on Good Friday, from the betrayal, through the trials, through the scourging, to the cross, is that as all these things are happening, Jesus is in charge. He is king. The idea of king, well, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it's shown in some interesting ways. An interesting custom in Jewish weddings. The bride and the groom are looked at as pictures and representations of Adam and Eve. They wear crowns, and at one point they are seated on chairs and hoisted up and carried around as royalty. Adam and Eve were royalty. They were given their royalty by God as he blessed them and told them to have dominion over the earth. So a quick little side question here. How did God create the world? He did so by speaking, by words. Adam then has brought all of the animals to see what he would name them. And see, Adam uses the same thing, words, to exercise that dominion over the animals. They were intended, Adam and Eve were intended to be the rulers over their domain, to be royalty in the image of God. And of course, the ruling of Adam and Eve went badly, and the whole creation was subject to corruption because they latched on to someone else's words than the words of God. So trouble and suffering come on every people or nation where the king or the ruler takes that power that they are given and curves it in toward themselves in order to get and grab and claim more than God has given to them. Theologians have a term for it, even in Latin, encurvatus and se, curved in on yourself. And Jesus comes along as the king who sets the absolute opposite pattern. Then we get to the Old Testament lesson in David. David was king. He got to wear a crown. Wonderful stuff. He got to sit on a throne. He got to rule. But all through the reign of David, there is an uneasiness with the whole thing. Because David's not the real king. God is the real king. There's an uneasiness also because David was supposed to be a picture and a preaching and a prophecy of the coming king who is Jesus. So David was supposed to come into Jerusalem, not riding on a war horse, but on a donkey. David was to celebrate the kingship of God by dancing before the Lord as the Ark of the Covenant came into Jerusalem. David was supposed to understand that he was a servant. That's why God picked a king from out among the sheep, a shepherd king. There's a strangeness to how God runs his kingdom. And that strangeness runs David through some long years of problems and humility. There's a pattern that David, no matter how much David tries to do it, he cannot fit that pattern. Because the pattern of the true king was waiting for the true king. And so Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he is hailed as the son of David. He is the king and he carries with him all of the hopes and all of the needs of the people of God. Our hopes are our needs too. We need for him to rule in our lives. He must be King of Kings and Lord of Lords also for us. But this is a strange kingdom. It's a strange kingdom where the king stands trial and he is judged by his subjects, judged by them as being guilty and deserving of death because he claims to be the king. It's a strange kingdom where the crown that the king takes for himself is a crown of thorns. It's a strange kingdom where in order to conquer, the king submits to beatings and carrying a cross and being crucified. That's not the kingdoms of this world, but that is the way God wishes to run his kingdom. It's not the temporal power, the for this world and limited to this time only that he seeks to be king. Rules all things anyway, but it is souls. It is people's hearts being brought to faith. It's a kingdom that is for all eternity where the subjects of the king share in all of the blessings and all of the riches of the king. Strange kingdom. And in order to put that kingdom into place, there is the king standing before the Roman guards. And they mock him. They ridicule him. They beat him. They spit on him. But as they are doing that, he is the one who is in control. He actually is their king. Right there. They are his subjects. He is the king, and he's ruling. He is exercising his authority. What a strange thing. What an odd behavior for the king. To decide to show his kingship by submitting to their abuse. Well, they will one day kneel before him because every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But even then, at that moment where they are mocking him, they are within his power and he, their king, has decided to be merciful to them and they have absolutely no clue what's going on. A kingdom that comes into being, I guess you could say, by stealth. Purple robe, intended to be a sign of mockery, but there's more glory in that robe than any of the royal robes of Caesar. Greater than Solomon in all his glory. Because that robe becomes part of what Jesus does in order to purchase and win us for eternal life. Again, he is the one in control. He is steering and moving the events of that day. And there's a destiny, and it's heading toward the cross. And the prayer, Father, forgive them. And the forgiving of the sins that the soldiers are committing. This will go on. This king will rule in this way for that day until he is nailed to the cross. And they are tossing dice for his clothes. And as they do it, Father, forgive them. Their king declares them forgiven. And as the hours wear on, then you have the centurion looking on and seeing these things. This does not fit. It does not fit any of the patterns that the centurion has learned in his life. Something is completely out of place. Something is completely backwards. And the confession, which we honestly do not know how much of it the centurion understood as he spoke it, but the confession, surely this is the Son of God. And again, who's in control? That would be Jesus. Now, David gets to wear a crown of gold. Fine, sure. Jesus is the king who wears the crown that purchases and wins us out of sin and death. King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, and don't forget that also on Easter morning, there's once again soldiers guarding the tomb, witnessing to the things that happened, reporting to the chief priests. What then? The King of kings and Lord of lords was working on their souls, their hearts, still calling them. And this king continues to gather into his kingdom, this King of kings and Lord of lords, this Jesus of Nazareth who conquers our hearts and makes us his, and he is my king and he is your king. And that means that he has the right to guide and to steer my life and your life, to choose things for me that I would not choose. He has the right to steer the events of my life, the right to steer the events of your life. He's purchased and won us, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. And why and what and for what purpose? That I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. King of kings, Lord of lords. And he has the right to rule and the right to reign also in our lives and in our hearts because he is trustworthy. Because he is faithful to all his promises. Because he is truly good. The whole idea of kingship and the crown begins back in the Garden of Eden, travels through the Old Testament, comes to Jesus, riding into Jerusalem, then is transformed to the crown of thorns. And then it's transformed once again as he rises from the dead, is transformed even more. He ascends to heaven. He rules all things. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. King of kings and Lord of lords, who will then also one day come and rule. bringing his kingdom and his kingdom of glory and his kingdom of eternal life to you and to me. And this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords, last book of the Bible describes him with a crown, describes him in glory, and describes us as sharing in the glory of the King of Kings. So the promise is extended to us that this business of the crown that Jesus has done and earned and won is shared with us. A crown of glory to all who believe in him. In Jesus' name, amen.